This podcast is a part of the Gunna Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not reflect those of other podcasts or affiliates of this show or Gunna Geek. Check out other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Get ready, because the geekiness commences in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance level 10. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents of equal or higher security clearance.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., podcast number 40, Howard the Duck, recorded on Thursday, September 4th, 2014. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the general Marvel Universe.
Because of that stupid duck.
You can contact us, our voicemail line, at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can find our website at legendsofshield.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, just search there basically just for all of us. You can find us on our forums at forums.gunnageek.com, or you can search Gunna Geek on Tapatalk.
So lots of ways to get a hold of us. And it's a good thing, too, because we've been running a giveaway for our Coulson's badge. Yes, it's an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or S.H.I.E.L.D. metal badge, little round thing in a leather pouch with a Phil Coulson identification card for when he was Agent Phil Coulson, all in this little leather pouch. And we've been having this go on for a few weeks. We said, hey, we're going to stop it on September 3rd. We did. We received one more voicemail underneath the line, and we're going to listen to it right now.
Hey guys, this is Richard. Just wanted to chime in on the FP being wrong. I remember in one podcast where he said the word irregardless, and both Haley and Lauren tried to correct him, and he pretty much shot him down saying, no, he's right. That was the first thing. That's pretty much all I have on that. And also, with regards to Guardians hasn't opened in China yet. If it follows the same number that Cap 2 did, that should be close to 150 million more on top of what they already have internationally. That's all I got. Looking forward to the next season. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you very much, Richard, for the voicemail. We really appreciate it. And before we get into the contest back again, we're going to talk a little bit about the Guardians of the Galaxy. We have the numbers for last week. It was number one in the box office again, yes, last weekend, although it didn't make that much. But we have some numbers, don't we, Haley?
Yeah. Right now, domestic is sitting at $283.6 million. Which is, by the way, number one for 2014 for domestic box office.
Woo!
And worldwide right now, it's sitting at $556.7 million.
And with a production budget of $170 million, they have made their money back. Now, he brings up a good point, doesn't he, Haley?
Yeah, I was looking at why Captain America was so much ahead of where Guardians is at this point, even though Guardians is way ahead of it in the domestic box office, and I couldn't figure out why the international numbers were so much lower. And if we haven't opened in China yet, then that would explain it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if it will actually be able to open in China, because the last I heard, and maybe I'm completely wrong, I got this from Legends Podcast, they said that China only allows so many movies, Western movies, in every year. And that's one of the reasons that Transformers actually filmed in China, was to allow the Transformers to open in China, and is probably what drove its box office numbers. Now, I could be completely wrong.
No, I gotta say, that does sound familiar. I don't remember where I heard it, probably on some movie gossip site or other. But no, it does sound very familiar. And I think one of the reasons why a lot of Hollywood movies are starting to film at least partially in China, is to get that kind of incentive for that market there.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean for sure that the movie will be allowed in. And I have no idea about that five number either. It could be arbitrary. It could be just their filter that they have just to make sure that only the movies that really want to have in come in, whatever. But I don't know if Guardians is slated to open in China or not. If it does I have to say, it's going to go over a billion. Richard says another 150, 170, something like that. I could see that. But definitely more than it is now. So I don't know if Guardians will retain. I don't know what's opening this weekend. You gals know what's opening this weekend?
Okay, this week we have opening As Above, So Below, Innocence, The Identical, and The Remaining.
So it might have a possibility of another number one at the box office, but I don't know.
I would say probably As Above, So Below has the biggest chance of being a number one movie, but
by the time we podcast again, we'll know for sure. So we'll bring that up and see if it's number one or if, you know, if it's dramatically decreased, because what did it get? Like 22 million at the domestic box office last weekend because of the long weekend. So we'll see how it goes. Anyway, I know you're all on edge right now. Richard had his voicemail in. Willie Nelson, he's had a couple of voicemails, but he had one voicemail telling us we were wrong on shawarma. I think we disqualified that a little bit because it's actually Wing being wrong and not me being wrong. So what do you ladies think?
I like to think of the Irregardless moment as your William Shatner sabotage moment.
Now, wait a minute. I've never lit my house on fire trying to deep fry a turkey. So what exactly do you mean by sabotage moment?
Sabotage.
Sabotage. Okay, there you go. Okay, got it. So
I don't say sabotage. I say sabotage. Sabotage. You said sabotage.
Now, I can't poke William Shatner too much right now because he's actually a huge proponent of some of the Canadian sci-fi shows that I like Defiance or Continuum. And he keeps on saying, hey, redo this sci-fi. Come on. We want an announcement. Poke, poke, poke. So way
to
go,
William.
That
doesn't change the fact that he's pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
And that you are objectively wrong about Irregardless being wrong.
You are objectively wrong about Irregardless.
Well, irregardless of that.
I want to reach through the internet and smack you.
I think Richard, therefore, will get this. And I want to point out that because we only had two voicemails and these folks stretched, I'm not always that wrong.
I think most people just couldn't narrow it down in time.
Yeah, I think so. We're probably going to have to maybe post a narrower.
They had plenty of chances. We gave.
No, I think they're still at home reviewing the tapes. Like, there's just so much. I can't decide.
They had plenty of opportunities to get multiple different phone calls in. They didn't get one. Only these two gentlemen did. So thank you, you two, for participating. Thank you, Jay, also, for not participating. And Richard, hit me up. DM me on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and we will get you your Agent Coulson badge before the season 2 premiere. Okay. We actually had something else happen in the last couple of weeks that we weren't able to get to last week, but we're going to listen to it now. You girls ready?
Yep.
All right.
All righty.
And if you want more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. news, check Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the Gunna Geek Network. And I just want to answer to something, because let's face it, we had some interplay with Guardian of the Galaxy, and at this point, they went to my list of favorite Avengers movie or favorite Marvel movies. And it's well known at this point that I like developing character. I like introspection in character. And they have problems with me putting Incredible Hulk at number 3 and putting Avengers as second to last. And I just want to say a preference is not being wrong. The internet can be wrong. There's not enough French people on the internet to make it right. That's the problem.
I think the problem is, first of all, there's no such word as preference. And second of all, most upright bipeds think that Avengers is a much higher rating than that.
American bipeds. Look at the Chinese. They like Transformers 4. Yeah, Chinese like Transformer 4. They're not even in the...
Man's got a point. I hate to agree with them.
That is true.
Yeah. So, thank you for kind of agreeing with me. Kinda.
No, kinda. I wasn't. I was just deflecting. Damn it, I was.
Yes, you were.
You're part of the problem, Beef.
I know.
Yes. And about that Sausage Fest comment. Yeah, by the way, Starpot, you're welcome for the crew. We found you, by the way. So,
Ouch.
Just saying.
That might be a sting. That might hurt.
That might hurt just.
You might need some aloe vera for that burn, dude. That was kind of harsh.
Yeah.
Oh, burnery. What?
Gentlemen, I'm cool as ice. Tell you what, I was the one who reached out and got Haley on this podcast. And Haley, not Wing, is the one who suggested we bring Lauren in. So Wing, stuff it. Along the lines of the Hulk being number three and Avengers being down low, I don't care how many Chinese people there are that do or do not see the Hulk or whatever. Avengers deserves to be one of the top four movies in the Marvel MCU right now. Matter of fact, probably if you consider the broader Marvel non-MCU, so we're talking about Sony and we're talking about Fox with X-Men and Spidey and all that stuff, it's probably still in the top four. So you're definitely still smoking that crack pipe.
It doesn't matter what country you're in, what galaxy you're in, Avengers is cool.
Yeah, it's kind of a good movie. That's why it made, you know, $1.5 billion.
Well, I gotta say,
everybody loves it.
He's got a point about right now the box office not being such a big indicator, because let's face it, Transformers 4, Mark Wahlberg rides a dinosaur, whatever happened, did make bank. But let's just talk cultural penetration.
Ooh, getting kind of racy tonight.
Well, considering the movie that we're about to discuss.
Well, let's leave that out of it for now. Let's keep on going here, because I've got
we'll
box office
that.
Numbers on
we'll
that
get
one.
To that. We'll get to that. But just in terms of people knowing all this stuff about Avengers and being able to quote lines and, you know, the whole puny god thing and just everything from Avengers. And I can't quote anything from... I mean, whenever I think about Transformers, the thing that I think of is Ralph Garman from Hollywood Babylon doing an impression of Mark Wahlberg going, it's a Transformer! Which is, I think I just did a horribly offensive impression, but I was just trying to do an impression of Ralph Garman doing a really bad Boston accent, I swear. I should not be allowed to do impressions.
I will not be seeing another Michael Bay Transformer movie in the theater or not.
I will not be seeing another Michael Bay anything.
Well.
Pain and Gain was good.
See, I thought like 2/3 of that movie was good. And then it kept being funny when things that really aren't funny, especially when they're based on a true story, happened.
I can't say that I will never see another Michael Bay movie, and here's why. Because I really enjoyed Armageddon, and
yeah.
I was entertained by Pearl Harbor. So those are still Michael Bay movies. He does make some he makes the explosive pretty, right? And I enjoyed The Last Ship on TV. So I can't say that I'm not going to see anything that he makes, but I will say I will not see another Michael Bay Transformers movie. I will not be part of the problem.
But the point is, Avengers is a good movie.
Yes.
Avengers is a good movie, Wing. Stop smoking your crack pipe. All right. We did last episode talk about our top five Marvel characters. I disqualified myself because I really don't know enough about the universe. You two ladies had some marvelous lists. I was listening to it. I was listening to it as I was post-editing, and I was like, wow, on the spot, these two came through. That's great. And indeed, that was on the spot. That was not a planned segment, whatever you believe or not. So it was great. We did receive a couple of responses to that already on Twitter. Operator, thank you very much, sir. And a little too clinical, Jesse, thank you very much. We will be giving everybody another week. If you want to get to us in any shape, manner, means, whatever, contact us on whatever means you can and tell us who your top five Marvel characters are. We will go down the lists of everybody next week. So in the meantime, we have some news this week. And the first thing is very exciting. It's Agent Carter casting.
Yay!
Woot. This is coming straight from Marvel. Chad Michael Murray has been cast as Agent Jack Thompson.
One Tree Hill.
You'll know him from One Tree Hill and a handful of like...
Yeah, I can't get past that agent name because Jack Thompson was a lawyer who some of y'all might remember from trying to say that Grand Theft Auto was responsible for school shootings and things like that. He and Penny Arcade had this huge vendetta going on for about 4 years, I want to say. It was tremendously entertaining to watch and very frustrating to hear all this. And I think he ended up getting disbarred. Because, oh, I remember why he got disbarred. He sent pornography to a Florida judge.
Well, heck,
because that is a surefire way to argue your case.
Heck, Bill Clinton got disbarred. So, I mean, it's not that, whatever. You could get rebarred, yes. I suppose.
Chad Michael Murray as Jack Thompson.
Okay.
And also, Enver Jokaj.
Jokaj.
Jokaj, there you go.
Yes.
You'll probably know him from Dollhouse. He was also actually in the Avengers as random cop on the street.
Yes, he is playing young cop.
Yes. We'll be playing Agent Daniel Sousa.
Mm. I can't wait to see more of him because I had the huge crush on him as Victor in Dollhouse.
He might be the best character in that series.
He was. He and the whole thing with Victor and Sierra was just a fantastic story. The whole episode where they uploaded Topher's personality into him. Oh, so you basically had two Topher's. It was amazing.
Yeah, that
I might
was
need
funny.
To go rewatch Dollhouse when I finish my Farscape rewatch.
Yes, I know. Oh, yay, Farscape.
So for everybody that didn't watch Dollhouse, he was basically one of the dolls. He was a male doll in the Dollhouse. And they uploaded different personalities based on whatever the need was or whatever the client was, whatever. And great series. Go watch it. But he did indeed play a great character.
Yeah, and give it half a season because that's about how long it takes.
It took a while to find its feet. And yes, he was easily the best part of the show for me. And not just because he looks good. It's just like genuinely his character was very interesting and watching him all these different characters was very interesting.
Yes.
So you liked him better than Tomo Pennicott?
Tomo Pennicott's character was incredibly boring.
Yes.
Very pretty. Very pretty. I mean, oh my God. And that guy is actually huge in real life. He was at a con here in Houston. I guess it was like 2 years ago. They had Battlestar Galactica con and like it was a mini con inside a con. And they had him, the guy that played Anders, and Bodhi Olmos, Hot Dog. And they were all coming down an elevator at the same time I was going up the opposite. Their escalator. And that guy is huge. I'm a very short person. And I'm just looking like,
he is built like a tank.
He is. And then I had a freak out.
Now, I didn't like her character, but I love her as an actress. Amy Acker was in Dollhouse as well. So it was Eliza or Eliza?
Eliza.
Eliza Dushku.
Yeah, there was a lot of great actors and actresses in this. It was a Wheaton show. I mean, it was great. So go check it out. And I picked it up in the second season, so maybe that's why I was asking about Mr. Pennicott, because I didn't see how his character evolved in the first season.
There wasn't much evolution.
No, he started off as the cop looking for somebody, and in the end, he was the cop that found somebody.
Yeah, pretty much.
He got the Wheaton paycheck, huh? All right. Well, anyway, that's some casting for Agent Carter, and we also have some looks at the cast from Daredevil.
We do. We have a first look at, we announced a couple of weeks ago that Foggy Nelson and Karen Page had been cast in the Netflix Daredevil series. Mm-hmm. And on the fandompost.com, they have a first look. So it's kind of weird seeing Deborah Ann Wall with a different shade of hair than she wore on True Blood. For what it is, it's a picture of them standing around and she's apparently pulling up her stockings, just adjusting her costume.
I was like scrolling down, like, I wonder what the heck is she doing?
I'm okay
she's, like,
with
adjusting
it.
Her, yeah, she's just like adjusting her costume because, I mean, those things are uncomfortable, let's face
is
it.
Is she doing this in character or is it just a set photo?
I'm thinking it's just a set photo.
Okay.
I figured it's in character because you got the extras behind actually doing the street stuff.
I don't know. That guy might just be talking on his iPhone.
I don't know if that's allowed on set, is it? Don't they take people's phones away from them?
I don't think so. I used to follow someone on LiveJournal who was, well, maybe they do.
Yeah, so I think this is an actual picture from a scene, or at least that they're filming. I don't know if it'll come out. But that dress is great. I love it.
It is a good dress. It looks good on her.
It does.
And it's a good color.
Great color, great shape. It's not showing too much, but shows enough.
And then dude playing Foggy Nelson is wearing a suit.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is a suit. And then, yeah, the actual article has just a short interview with Deborah Ann Wall talking about how she's like, yeah, I was so used to playing Jessica that I was like, oh, yeah, I'm good at this. And then I start this new character and I'm like, wait, what's going on? It was kind of an interesting read.
How long was she in True Blood? How long did that series last?
They just finished the sixth season, seventh season.
Yeah, but it's not all one a year, right? It's HBO, yeah, so it's like,
well, it's like 13 episodes every summer.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess this was like the sixth season. And she came into the show at the end of the first season.
Yeah, so you play a character for 5 or 6 years. You're almost typecast at that point in time. All right. Well, so we're sure about Foggy Nelson and Karen Page. Are we so sure about Mr. Phoenix?
No!
We're exactly where we were last week.
So what's going on with that?
Okay,
he might play Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Might.
According to Latino Review, Joaquin Phoenix doesn't know if he'll be able to handle such a big project because they'd want to sign him on for a whole bunch of movies and because it's going to be very big into special effects and fight scenes and a whole lot of reshoots, and it's kind of constraining. So I can see why he probably would be hesitant about doing something like that.
Truckloads of cash. Truckloads of cash.
But artistic integrity and maybe not wanting to be roped to the Marvel machine for 8 years, 9 years, however many years.
Yeah, I mean, how long has Robert Downey Jr. been doing this franchise?
Well, but he's starting to be on his way out. At least that's my assessment. There's no news for sure. I haven't heard one way or the other.
From what I've heard, he's contracted for Avengers 3 at the least.
Yeah, but probably not anything in between. At least that now we know. Hey, look, Marvel's written out Edward Norton. I mean, they can write out or write in whoever they want to at any point in time.
I think the fans would riot.
With Robert Downey Jr., I would agree. Yeah. But with Mr. Phoenix, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would just love to be a part of that for 5-10 years. That would set me up for life. And I would have the ball doing it. I mean, why?
Well, I'm sure Joaquin Phoenix is really hard up for cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that time when he basically trashed his own career for a year for a documentary that I think 3 people saw?
No, I don't remember that. So it's probably legitimate that 3 people saw it.
Yeah, I'm still here. It's like him and Casey Affleck did this. And you remember that time he grew that huge beard and was just acting bizarre for like a year and a half? It was like, oh, it's a documentary. And no, it was just kind of this weird art project that was portrayed as a documentary.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what people were like, is Shia LaBeouf trying to do this now with him like throwing his life down the drain? And they're like, no, I think he's just legitimately like circling the drain.
Okay.
It wasn't that long ago.
I just don't pay attention to Joaquin Phoenix. And that's probably why, because he was out of the spotlight for a little bit.
Well, he was kind of in the spotlight for being incredibly eccentric and weird and having that huge Ted Kaczynski-esque beard. Like, he would walk into red carpet stuff and mumble.
Awesome. In character. Yeah, that works great. Okay. Next. All right. Well, we'll see. I'm sure next week we'll be in the same boat that we're in this week.
This is our new who's directing Ant-Man, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Are we sure about the Ant-Man director right now? I mean, I know they're filming and everything. But
allegedly. I mean, this is... They haven't put out the movie yet. Yeah, there have been movies where like midway through the director has been fired and somebody else has taken over.
I'm sure Kevin Feige could
many movies.
Fit himself right in there if he wanted to. Yeah. All right. Yeah, another person that Kevin Feige is fighting to fit in, I hope at least, is Carol Danvers in Avengers 2.
Woo! Right. It looks like, from what this article is saying, that maybe they had seen a script and they knew what, like, the shawarma scene was supposed to be for Avengers 2.
Sorry, Willie.
And that it was supposed to be kind of a Cap assembling a more permanent Avengers team, the script that he saw, that, and that it's been rewritten several times since he saw the script. But that in that, one of the Avengers that was being added to this team was Captain Marvel, as portrayed by Carol Danvers.
Awesome.
I would love that.
Awesome. But now they're saying that it looks like Marvel might be backing off of just dropping her in as a fully formed hero and saving part of that development for her own movie.
Mm.
If they make it soon, I wouldn't mind that. I just want Captain Marvel on screen. I want Carol on screen. I want it now.
Yeah, like what I would love is for you to see Carol Danvers in the Avengers movie and then see her becoming Captain Marvel later.
Yeah, I would agree. That would definitely be awesome. And I would just like it no matter what. You know, this reminds me a little bit of how they're running over in DC, how they're running the Batman versus Superman, where they're putting different people in there so they can run their own movies or Justice League later or whatever. So we might see that style of play here in Avengers 2. Different styles of movies, as we discussed in the past, but this sort of let's keep the ball rolling with superhero characters that haven't been introduced yet. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to Wonder Woman. I'm looking forward, which is DC again. Yes, I know. I got it. I'm looking forward to Captain Marvel. I'm looking forward to possibly a Black Widow movie. I want one.
Yes.
So does Robert Downey Jr.
Good for him. I would like to see it as well.
He said, you know, Scarlett Johansson is awesome and people go and see anything she's in. So maybe they should make a Marvel movie with her in it and everyone will go see it.
Man's got a point.
Man's got a great point.
He also talks about how Zoe Saldana was awesome in Guardians and Gwyneth Paltrow is awesome in the Iron Man movies and that Marvel needs to quit being such chickens about putting women in movies. He might not have said that. That might have been me.
I can't argue with the sentiment, though.
No, I completely agree. That's awesome. I want a female-led superhero movie. I'm just excited for it. It's like the Pandora's box that needs to be open. And not in a bad way either.
Yeah, and let's face it, Marvel's like biggest moneymaker. Well, okay, Guardians of the Galaxy is technically their biggest moneymaker right now. But I'm sure if you added up all the movies, the Marvel movies that Robert Downey Jr. has been in for Marvel, that he is still their biggest moneymaker. But him saying, hey, why don't y'all do this, probably gives them a little bit more incentive to listen to him than just me saying, y'all should do this now, because who am I really?
Hey, we've got dozens of loyal fans. Baker's dozens.
Baker's dozens.
They come in 13s.
Do we have a gross yet? I don't know. I'll have to take a look at the numbers. But what we do have is our ability to make our own Groot costume.
For less than $50.
Sweet.
So you got to buy some paint and you got to gather up some like twigs and moss and some bags. And you just like put it all together until you look like Groot.
Sounds kind of like a sniper package there.
I don't know.
When you said that, like the thing that I pictured was somebody just like dousing the, like garbage bags and glue and just rolling around in the dirt. But no, the actual costume on the Nerdist site is not bad looking. It's not like the one that I saw from, I think it was Dragon Con.
Right.
Where this guy had started like building the costume when he saw the stills of the movie come out. So he'd been working on it and fabricating it forever. But, you know, this actually isn't bad.
Yeah. If your kid decides they want to be Groot for Halloween, you could do this one yourself. Like, and then even just go, I might be able to manage this.
Yeah, then just go catch a raccoon and...
No, you got to go get the stuffed one that they used as the stand-in on set.
You got to.
Just go get Sean Gunn.
Yeah. So, Lauren, question for you. Did you manage to fix Floppy Groot?
I did, actually. He now has some garden wire running through him, which I thought was appropriate on account of he is a plant.
Awesome. I like it. I like it a lot. You know, another thing that I actually like seeing was another idea for Stan Lee's cameo, the original idea in Guardians of the Galaxy.
So James Gunn's original plan was to have Stan Lee be in one of the cases in the collector's collection and that he would flip off. Who was he supposed to flip off?
Groot, I thought.
Groot, yeah. He was going to flip off Groot when Groot looked into his case.
Yeah, I could see why they didn't include this because nobody wants to flip off Groot. I mean,
read on the Mary Sue. They were like, that's the real reason because nobody wants to flip off Groot. It's sad.
But they were saying it's too similar to when Peter Quill was flipping off the Nova Corps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So they decided to do something
else. I didn't know this worked like that.
I didn't know how this machine worked.
Yeah, it's great. Oh, and another sequence that was cut from a movie, Hawkeye from Cap 2. We finally get some insight on this.
I wish they had kept this in because it sounds amazing. So he was supposed to, they wrote this in the script. So you'll learn on the audio commentary what was going to happen, but then they got the commentary and they wrote it down here on screenrant.com. What it was going to be was Hawkeye gets a call from S.H.I.E.L.D. saying that Cap's a fugitive. And there would be a great sequence where Hawkeye was chasing Cap through DC. And Hawkeye is shooting a series of arrows and closing in on Cap. And Cap's closing in on him. And then Cap takes him down. And he realizes that Hawkeye's trying to trick S.H.I.E.L.D. because Hawkeye whispers something into Cap's ear that Cap has a tracker on his suit. And punch Hawkeye to make it look real because there's a Quinjet hovering above them where they're watching the feedback. And that could have been really cool. And I know that it's been done before, like every spy movie, every just thing ever, but I want to see it.
That would have led to some more legitimacy to Hawkeye's character too.
Yeah. And then it would, you know, answer the question was, where was Hawkeye in this whole thing?
Yeah, right.
The answer is that Jeremy Renner was kind of busy.
The answer was that Jeremy Renner was kind of busy.
Ugly. I'm sorry. I'm going to keep saying that from the SDCC 2014.
We need to get Jeremy Renner to say more phrases.
Well, it's kind of funny that he was saying it about Thor, you know, one of your
Thor
beloved.
Thor is very pretty.
Yeah, one of your beloved Chris. Well, I mean, he's saying he would be an ugly woman, which I would agree with that.
But. Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, beard.
Well, you never know it until you try. I mean, look at Conchita Wurst. I mean, it looks fabulous in a dress, very nicely trimmed beard. I can't pull off a dress that well. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. We should have a contest at some point in time.
I don't think anybody would enjoy it.
I vote no star pie in a dress.
I second that.
Veto.
I don't know. How nice are your legs?
Apparently, according to Shannon, they're very sexy because...
Okay, then. You would probably look better in a dress than me.
I was skating to Save Defiance, and I did a little video, and Shannon saw my legs and wants to see more. So, you know, okay. And by the way, that's on Voices of Defiance. It's another podcast on the Gunna Geek Network. Go listen to it and find out all about the great show on sci-fi that may or may not be canceled by the time you get this podcast out. Okay. So in the meantime, another great fan act.
With good-looking legs.
Is a fan-made Loki movie.
Yeah, it's... like 2 hours and 12 minutes, I think. It edits together all of his scenes from Thor 1 and 2 and the Avengers, and it takes in some footage from deleted scenes and featurettes and things like that on the Blu-rays, and it puts together a cohesive story. It's not just like all the stuff cut together. It's like they actually tried to tell a story with it. They try to fill in the parts of the story that aren't explicitly shown in the movies. And I'm definitely going to watch this at some point in time in the next week.
So this sounds like the Battlestar Galactica movie, The Plan, except for done way, way better.
Yeah, like except done by somebody that cared about it.
Oh, I can't wait to see
it. The Plan had a good soundtrack, damn it.
Bear McCreary, I have yet to hear something that man does wrong. Everything he does is gold.
I started watching Outlander and I was like, this sounds like Bear McCreary.
Good reason for that.
And hey, it's Bear McCreary.
Also, speaking of good legs, I mean, main reason I like kilts. I like good legs.
Oh, they work. Yes.
Yes.
Bear also did the soundtrack for Defiance too. Eh?
And
there you go.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, I forgot about that. I can't believe I did that. We're on a podcast about it. Oh, Bear, you're great.
Starfire doesn't even watch the show. He doesn't know.
It's been off the air so long. I don't know. We haven't rewatched any of the episodes. You know what? I'm going to have to sit down one of these weekends and just, you know, with no doze and jolt or something.
I think they've been re-airing them on like Saturday or Sunday nights.
Yeah.
Well, you know, pretty soon. There's a little DVD coming out. It's going to have all the episodes on it.
Oh, how do you know this?
I work in the electronics department of a very large chain of stores, and we have them in our security room right now, and I want one so bad, and I can't have it yet, and it's not fair.
You're precious.
Yeah, they're in the same box as the Captain America 2 DVDs, and I want one so bad, and I can't have it yet.
Are they actually literally locked in like a box in a cage?
No, they're in a cardboard box.
Have y'all seen this YouTube video? It's a few years old. It's like this dog that it's this dog that really wants a cupcake, and the training the dog. So the dog's just sitting there with this hopeless look on its face as it stares at the cupcake.
No, I can't see that. I saw that.
Okay. Well, when we're done with this, go and YouTube cupcake dog. And that is what I picture Haley looking like at work, instead of, except a cupcake. It's DVDs.
Although I did see a story today about this dog that ate 43 and a half socks.
Wow.
Yeah.
I do not want
to picture that dog's poop.
Yeah. Apparently, everything's okay.
It probably wasn't pooping. That's probably why they took it to the vet.
Well, yeah, the dog wasn't feeling well. They took it to the vet, and the vet took an x-ray and went, oh my, and then did emergency surgery, got into the stomach, and took out 43 and a half socks. So
it's not gnomes that are stealing all my socks. It's a dog.
I guess. This is a very big dog. I think you'd notice it walking around. You know, another great video that I ran into on YouTube this week was Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2 promo.
Yes.
It's so close.
So close.
And Clark, he's just ingrained in my... Clark Gregg, he's just ingrained in my brain. I start hearing his voice narrated over. I'm like, oh, it's Director Coulson. It's Director Coulson. It's Director Coulson. It's great. It's only 30 seconds, but it's tiding me over for now. Did you two like it?
Yes. I want the whole show already.
He wants it.
Give me it.
Yes. We'll get it soon enough, and then we'll get Agent Carter, and then we'll get more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then we'll get Daredevils.
Nope. And then, yeah. I hope that Netflix releases Daredevil like right around the same time that S.H.I.E.L.D. is ending. That way I will have something to tide me over during the
summer. For like 2 days.
So I haven't looked at this far off schedule. Are we going to see the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then Avengers 2? Is that how this is going to work? Or are they going to overlap a little bit?
I don't know.
I think so. If there's no breaks, then they should be wrapped up before Avengers comes out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And they said they're not going to. They're not going to play the week off game.
Yeah, but I kind of wonder if they're going to take a week or two off around the Christmas and New Year's holidays for Agent Carter.
You know, we were talking about that a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember exactly when, that I didn't know of any TV show that actually played a new episode or something like that over the holidays. Haley, why didn't you stop me on that? Because Doctor Who, of course.
Yeah, there's a little show called Doctor Who. They usually put out an episode around then.
So
I finished watching the Donna episodes this weekend.
Oh, Dr. Donna. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I am, because that's a rough way to end.
I'm kind of infuriated right now. It's been like a week and I'm infuriated.
It's like, no, you're supposed to turn off the episode like 10 minutes before the end. And it's just and the adventure.
Did you tell me and I forgot that?
You didn't tell me that's where you were. I would have told you. And they adventured happily ever after. The end.
There you go. Doctor Who, Dr. Donna by Haley. And I agree, by the way. And our point here is that it is doable for a show to show a new episode, but it's going to be an event. And I don't know necessarily if Agent Carter will be considered a holiday event.
Maybe they will. Maybe they'll do, you know, a holiday special.
I'm sure that they might, but I don't know if it'll be like on Christmas Day, because
they're going to beat up some Hydra agents and then like all get together and like drink eggnog.
Are they going to nail Hydra and then nail some decorations up? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I like it.
They'll make a wreath.
All right, but everybody, that's it for the news this week. So thank you very much. If you guys have any tips or anything, you know, get it to us. We're mainly talking Marvel news here. That's what we do. So we'll be glad to include your story. In the meantime, we're going to go on to one of my
worst the end of the podcast.
Ideas ever.
See you guys next week.
I can't believe I was like, this is a great idea.
No, it was a great idea.
You did this to me.
Before I start, our friend Beef on the Legends podcast, he was actually on the start of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the first 13 episodes here. He loves Howard the Duck, right? He does. And I asked him for a comment.
He's been spending too much time around that Frenchman.
I know. So I said, we're podcasting Howard the Duck. Care to make a statement? And he says, great flick. Enjoy. Loved it. And then he says, hope to rewatch it again soon. I'll send you my copy, buddy, if you don't have one. I don't want it anymore.
All right. Before we start talking, I should say I love objectively terrible movies. Like, my husband's first ever, I think, Valentine's Day gift to me was one of my favorite movies. It's called Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter. And I think his first Christmas present to me, it was one of our first, you know, well, the first year we were dating, was a Peter Jackson movie called Meet the Feebles.
Okay, I think
just
I've heard of
look
that
it up. Just look it up.
See, that's my problem. I've never really been able to enjoy bad movies sober.
Oh, I love MST3K and everything. So
okay, this movie had George Lucas as its executive producer as he's coming off a great run with Star Wars and the Indiana Jones movies and stuff like that. He had Leah Thompson, who's coming off of Back to the Future,
Red Dawn,
Space Camp, and then she did Some Kind of Wonderful afterwards. You have Tim Robbins, who arguably went on eventually 8 years later to star in one of the best, I would put it top 10 movies of all time, if not higher, The Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. It's probably in my
Jeffrey
top three.
Jeffrey Jones, who was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and now he's a convicted child molester.
Yeah. He was in The Hunt for Red October. He was Skip Tyler there, who's the naval sub guy who had a peg leg. These are people that are well known in the industry. And in some of their cases with Leah, at the time, it was the pinnacle of her career. I mean, she's kind of having a resurgence lately. But George Lucas, definitely, this was in his heyday. And they make this? I'm like,
Well, the thing was, okay, I love this podcast, Speaking of Bad Movies, called How Did This Get Made? It's a bunch of comedians talking about terrible, terrible movies. And I guess it was 2 years ago, they did a live show about Howard the Duck. And I re-listened to it before I watched the movie because, you know, it's honestly the last time I watched this movie, I was in high school. A friend of mine found the VHS at a flea market. And I was like, you know, I haven't seen this movie since I was a kid. You mind if I borrow it? She's like, yeah. So I watched it. I'm like, that was a weird movie. So anyway, they're talking about some trivia about the movie. George Lucas, right after Return of the Jedi, was going through a divorce. Yes. Marsha Lucas, the editor for Star Wars, it was his wife, and she was in the process of divorcing him. So he was bankrupt. He was undergoing bankruptcy. And this movie was supposed to be the one that was going to like put him back into solvency. Yeah.
Well,
and it was originally supposed to be an animated movie.
Okay.
But he was contractually obligated to do a live action movie.
Okay.
And because this movie flopped so bad, he had to sell off part of ILM to Steve Jobs, which became Pixar. Thank you, Howard the Duck.
Well, there you go.
It was for the greater good.
It was
the
for
the greater good.
They were showing that the other day.
I did go to Wikipedia, and I believe it states that, and this is the only place I got this information. It's probably on other movie websites, whatever. It states that it took $37 million to make Howard the Duck, and it made $37.9 million. I mean, you have to factor in the whole advertising and marketing budget, which apparently they did a lot of, because I took a look at the special edition DVD and there's, I have no idea what they thought they were getting into at the time. They probably had just finished principal photography, had not seen the final product, but there was a lot of extras put into this. It was going to be a lot bigger than they thought it was, and it just tanked so hard in comparison. Yeah. Now, we say this, but there is a strong cult following for Howard the Duck, and specifically this movie, too. So take that as you will. And Leah Thompson, there are some good things about this movie. Leah Thompson, that is actually her singing.
I thought you were going to say in her underwear.
I was going to get there, but since you bring that up.
Yeah, okay, so basically, this movie, for once, Haley is not the person bringing up a drinking game. Scott and I thought up a drinking game.
Oh,
okay.
I'm excited.
There's three ways you could play this drinking game. Anytime there's a duck pun, anytime there is a horrifically inappropriate sex joke, or anytime there's a Leah Thompson panty shot.
You could get wasted really quickly watching
this
movie.
That's why you choose one of the three.
You know, you bring up the duck puns. I thought there weren't enough duck puns and there were too many bad duck jokes. Like all the bad, like hunting jokes and stuff should have been replaced with duck puns, I think.
Yeah, specifically with the ultralight flight.
Okay. And again, here, I said on Twitter yesterday, I just found out some Marvel Cinematic Universe trivia. Okay. So after the movie, we're letting the credits play because, you know, that song's really catchy. And I'm watching the credits as I usually do just to see some, you know, if are there any names that I recognize from like the Star Wars movies. Mm-hmm. And for the record, one of the puppeteers for Howard the Duck, Tim Rose, is Admiral Akbar.
Oh, anyway, sweet.
So the whole movie.
Wait.
It's a trap.
Yes. Well, at least it's in some of the close-ups. Anyway, then I see a very familiar name and I think, no way. And I check IMDb. Yes way. The ultralight sequences were directed by Joe Johnston.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, Captain America's director, who was basically George Lucas's like protege. Also the guy who designed Boba Fett, created Boba Fett, directed part of Howard the Duck.
You know, that whole ultralight scene with Tim Robbins in the back, I'm a big Top Gun fan, and I had forgotten until I read IMDb that Tim Robbins was Merlin in Top Gun, which is one of the backseaters. Right. So all the time during the ultralight scene, I'm going, that's Merlin, man! That's Merlin!
See, the whole time we're watching the ultralight scene, my husband, who's an aerospace engineer, was going, you know that those things are the most like unsafe things ever, and most people die in those. And
I think that was the point of the whole sequence. And the fact that they were flying like 15 feet off the ground the whole way.
Oh, yeah. No, that's horrifically unsafe.
I mean, you didn't have to do the loop-de-loop over the bridge. You could have flown over the bridge to begin with. Just pull back on the stick a little bit. No problem. Well, I mean, they were, I guess, running out of power or whatever. But you didn't have to be flying right next to the road and be shot at by police shotguns the whole time. Anyway, this movie, the special effects, it was very Back to the Future.
Yes.
Back to the futuristic.
Okay. Scott pointed out. And when if you just let the menu run for a while, didn't the soundtrack sound very Back to the Future?
I thought so, yeah.
A little bit. But then when the stop animation of the Dark Overlord happened, it was like, yeah, this is no.
It was a little bit Ghostbusters there. It reminded me of some of the ghosts.
Yeah, but if you take a look at the, what's it, the creature in Jabba's pit?
Yeah.
The Rancor. That was done. At the time, I mean, it's been redone, digitally remastered, but that was done.
Well, not really. They've smoothed out some of the scenes where, like, you could see where it's been imposed onto the scene.
Right. But even back then, it was better than what we see here.
Well, I think Star Wars also had a better budget. Well, Return of the Jedi also probably had a better budget.
Maybe. It was the same people doing it, though.
So. Not all of the same people, though.
All right. Haley, what was... Okay, I'm wading into dangerous territory here. What was one of your favorite parts of the movie? You had to have something that made you laugh out loud legitimately or something.
Let's see. I'm looking through my notes, looking for something positive.
I have. While Haley's looking, also.
Okay. I will say this. He's in the warehouse and he gets in that little cart thing and it won't go unless the seatbelt's buckled.
Yeah.
That would be the first safety feature disabled in any place.
It's true. It would. Oh, that was funny. And the fact that it's like a six-wheeled vehicle, but only the last two wheels were spinning when he was being pushed back by the breath, the monster breath of the Dark Overlord.
I've got a whole segment of my notes if we want to argue about the science of this movie.
No.
Oh, no. The science is terrible. The science is absolutely just god-awful.
Ducks don't have boobs.
It is negative science. Okay, no. There's this whole part in How Did This Get Made where they are arguing over the duck boobs.
Oh, at the very beginning?
Also, with regards
boobs
to
boobs are a mammal thing.
Yeah. Boobs are, by definition, a mammal thing. I mean, even monotremes, you could argue, hey, maybe the ducks have evolved into monotremes. No, monotremes leak milk out of their entire skin.
Ew.
It's really weird. Like, that is how, like...
They, like, sweat milk?
Yes. Well, actually, see, mammary glands are actually just modified sweat glands.
Okay.
So, hi, biologist.
For the record, I like actual boobs better. Just for the record.
Most people do. I mean, I get there are some people who are really into like armpits and stuff. But anyway, also the little duck condom.
Yeah,
he's just got an open condom in
exactly
his wallet.
My son Sandrock is like, I wonder what the birth rate is like on their planet.
Other than just being just gross and open. Have you ever seen a duck penis?
Yeah, actually.
I've never looked it up, but I know what they're supposed to be shaped like.
Yeah, and they are corkscrewed and they are very long. And yeah, duck sex is just one of the most horrific, violent, just disturbing things.
So you're saying Leia Thompson likes it rough?
Actually, yeah. See, she is so into these ducks. Okay, she's spending this entire movie trying to have sex with a duck.
I know. Like, him flirting with her could have been funny. Like, oh, it's just a creepy duck. But her flirting back was disturbing.
It was. It was just, like, really creepy. And then, like, when she got the backpack out, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's a duck fetishist. Just, wow, okay.
Yeah, there you go. That's what happened.
And then she's like, oh, you're so cuddly. And it's just like, oh no.
Well, and she obviously knows what a duck looks like. How did he know what humans look like?
Yeah, just, so do they have monkeys on Duck World?
Obviously,
they would have to because he keeps calling them hairless apes.
Well, okay. People are apes, men are monkeys. Yeah, okay, we get it.
Well,
Doctor Who reference.
You don't
again.
Get that yet.
No, I don't. But that is biologically inaccurate, but
I know. It's a joke from Doctor Who.
Okay.
Series 8. So you'll get there eventually.
Okay, I will get there eventually, but just I'm probably gonna be angry then too. But just anything with science in this movie is about 10 kinds of wrong. And, okay, Jeffrey Jones's character would be dead in like half an hour, even after he gets the evil overlord out of him, because he went in and just like hung out inside of a nuclear reactor for a while.
Yeah, to get power.
Yeah, but that doesn't just negate the, you know, radiation.
Oh, the dark overlord power protected him.
No, his DNA is rotten now. It's just been like...
Well, I mean, it's Jeff. Of course his DNA is rotten.
It doesn't work that way. Yeah, it does not work that way. Nothing works that way.
Also, what are the odds of hitting the same planet again when it was a total accident that you hit it on the first place with that
Why
laser?
Did it only suck his couch through? There was like a billion other ducks in the way.
I know. It even pulled him through another person's apartment. Like, how did they not
it
get sucked up?
It pulled him through several people's apartment, including that naked duck.
I know, with the duck boobs, which aren't a thing.
Yeah, which are not. I know you can argue that duck breasts are a thing because they serve them in restaurants, but duck boobs are not a thing.
Not with nipples on them.
No.
Okay. I'm the rocket scientist on this show, and I know Lauren's a biologist, but I'm a rocket scientist on the show, and I got to say, within the first 2 minutes of rewatching this, because it's been a couple of decades since this, I stopped any notion of trying to take notes, and I just grabbed an envelope, and I just started writing down a few things. And the one thing I haven't said yet is plot.
There is no plot.
Man. I was like, really? Now, this could, if there was a better plot, this could have been a lot better movie than it was, but the story that they decided to tell, I don't know. I guess you're right. George was just going through a bad time.
And then also, the writer and director are married. George Lucas did not direct this. He just produced it.
Well, take a look at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We've got that going on.
Wait.
Okay.
This movie's set in Cleveland. They filmed it in Hawaii. Because they always wanted to go to Hawaii. So that should kind of tell you, something about like their dedication to this movie.
And don't worry about it, Cleveland. You got Hawaii back later because was it Avengers, I believe? Avengers was
filmed in Cleveland.
Yeah, there you go. Between the two, I'd take Avengers over Howard the Duck any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Wayne can agree with us on that.
I think part of the problem with this movie is there were parts of it where it was trying to be too serious. And any movie where a duck is one of the main stars should never at any point be serious.
Yeah, there was a lot of rape threats in the movie. And I know it was the 80s, but it was just this weird tonal shift just going on in the movie where it's trying to be, you know, gritty, grr. And then duck puns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, the reason why we watch this is because in the shawarma scene, sorry, Willie, we saw Howard the Duck in the
collector.
In the collector's collection. So We had an off week where we didn't have anything scheduled yet, and I thought, hey, let's watch the actual Howard the Duck movie. I'm glad we did. I have no idea if it's anywhere near the actual origin story of Howard in the comics, but...
Well, the extent of my experience with Howard the Duck is him and Machine Man teaming up in Marvel Zombies, I think 5. It was either 4 or 5. And that was a really fun team up to read, by the way. It's just these two guys who pretty much hate people just going slaughtering zombies in an alternate universe. It's fun. And every now and then he'll have a kind of throwaway appearance in, like, I know he showed up in Secret Invasion. Like, is he a Skrull duck? What? I don't know. But no, they'll just have him show up every now and then. But I did a little bit of reading on his actual, like, origin. Beverly is a character from his comic, but it's pretty much just her name that's in common.
Okay.
He was kidnapped by, like, a sorcerer and dumped in the Everglades in Florida and originally showed up in, like, a Man-Thing comic. And for
so
a while
it's a combination
there,
of what we saw in Guardians of the Galaxy and what was that Disney movie with the egg-shaped spaceship?
Flight of the Navigator!
So it's a cross between Flight of the Navigator and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Little, not really. Okay,
that's just where my mind went. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, he ends up, you know, going around having adventures. I think the comic does actually take place in Cleveland.
Oh, and I just looked it up online, by the way. Flight of the Navigator, 1986, the same year as this. So guess which movie won. Okay.
And apparently it was intended to be, like, the comic was intended to be a satire, like, just kind of this absurdist poke in the eye of, oh, there's all this serious stuff happening, but it's really funny when it's happening to a duck. And there's been some pretty big names working on it. Bill Mantlo, the guy that created Rocket Raccoon, worked on it for a while. Mm. Gene Colan, who died a couple years ago, worked on the art for it for a while. And it stopped being an ongoing years ago. But yeah, he's shown up every now and then again. For a while, he was with the Defenders.
Weren't there like 2 or 3 volumes of his own series too?
I think so, yeah. I think if you go, you could probably go look up like the Marvel Collected Editions, and I think you could probably find one of Howard the Duck.
I do know this for sure.
If you didn't get enough Howard the Duck from this.
Well, I will say, also something else. In his original appearance, he looked very much like Donald Duck from Disney, and Marvel was sued by Disney because of this similarity. So they made Howard wear pants to be distinctive.
And thus explains the larger condom. Yes. In any event, I am glad that we saw Howard the Duck as a cameo in the Guardians of the Galaxy and that Marvel has come forward and said, we're not going to get any more of this. So I could actually see this being done correctly, particularly in the Guardians sort of motif instead of what we saw here. Thank you to all the actors and actresses and everybody, George, that actually put this out there. At the time as Revolution, we didn't have many comic book movies back then. So, okay. You know, this was an okay start. I'm looking for the positives here.
Yeah, let's face it. We didn't have really, we had like that Fantastic Four movie that was never released. We got this. We got the Dolph Lundgren Punisher, and we had the David Hasselhoff Captain America.
Yeah.
And when did the Superman movies come out?
Those came out in the 70s, yeah, but I'm talking Marvel.
Right. Okay. I think Superman was 78. I could be mistaken on that.
It sounds about right, but...
When was Batman?
Yeah, Batman wasn't until...
The Michael Keaton Batman.
Yeah, that wasn't
that
until...
That was like 89?
Okay.
No, yeah, 89, because so Batman Returns was like 91.
Okay. So, I mean, this was in a Darth spot in between Superman and when Batman started up, which are the formative comic book movies of my youth anyway. So, in any event, I'm glad we had a chance to watch it. Beef, I'm sorry, buddy. I will not be watching this again. Sorry.
I will. Like I said, I love bad movies. This is a good one to get some friends together, lock them in a room.
That might have been the problem. I was watching this by myself after a long day at work, and it just, no, it was not doing it for
me. Movies like this, you have to watch with a friend.
Okay.
Or else, like, see if there's a Riff Tracks available.
Yeah, that would be awesome, a Riff Tracks of this.
Yeah, this is what you have to do with bad movies. They're not as fun to watch alone.
MST3K, which could be coming back. I don't know what's happening with that right now, but I mean, Riff Tracks is basically the same thing.
Yeah, it's most of the same crew.
All right. Do you two have anything else that you just have to say about Howard the Duck, the movie, 1986?
Yeah. At the end, where she thinks he's dead. She doesn't check or anything, but his eyes are closed.
No,
so yeah. He must be dead.
Well,
again, nobody knows anything in this. Okay, the whole point of the movie is that, oh yeah, he now manages their band and he's a duck and nobody cares. It's just, I don't know, the tone in this movie is so weird. And who was this movie marketed for?
Have you ever been to Cleveland, by the way? I'm sure a walking duck wouldn't be noticed that much.
I have never been to Cleveland.
Ferris, that was meant for you, buddy.
Yes. Seriously, though, who? I was very young when this movie came out. Who was this movie marketed for?
Obviously, there's way too many boobs, both human and duck, for this to have been targeted at
kids. Everyone that I know who's seen this movie, we all saw it when we were kids, though. Because I guess everyone's parents are like, oh, Talking Duck, it's a kid's movie.
Well, George Lucas had just been involved in Star Wars with Yoda, right? Yoda was kind of a Muppet sort of character like this. And I think it was
kind of like a Dark Crystal problem where Dark Crystal was too dark for young kids.
This wasn't too dark. This was just too weird.
This was just too weird, yeah. It's, I don't know. Because of that weird tonal shift, I really don't know who it would be marketed towards. I can kind of see maybe for like the late teen, young adult crowd, except that no.
Well, if anybody knows the answer to who the original marketed audience for this movie was, please go ahead and contact us on any of our contact information. One last shot, ladies. Anything else you just have to say about this movie?
If y'all have anything to say about this movie, contact us. Let us know how old you were when you first saw it. Just anything like that.
Okay. And don't forget, also contact us with your top five Marvel characters. Separately, we have sewn up the giveaway for the Coulson's badge. We will be starting another giveaway just for an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. shirt next week. So we'll be thinking of constructive ways for you guys to get involved in that. And Richard, get a hold of me, and I will get this in the mail as soon as I can. And next week, we'll be delving into some of the information that our friend of the cast, Kier, from Gallifrey Public Radio, again, one of Haley's co-hosts over there, he actually went to Dragon Con, and he got a couple of audio panels for us, and we'll be going over the science of Avengers and S.H.I.E.L.D. next week, in addition to whatever interesting things we find in the Captain America 2 Blu-ray, which releases on Tuesday. We're going to watch the movie, of course, but since we've already podcasted on that, what we're going to focus on is the specials, the commentary or commentaries. Yes. I haven't actually taken a look. I have looked, and I was told that Target, for those of you that haven't decided where you're going to get it yet or don't have a place where you should get it from, Target apparently has some additional extras on their copies. So
I hate when they do that.
I know, me too. I did the Avengers that way, and I actually bought two copies of the Avengers because at the time Chuck from Galactic Water Cooler was saying that you could get a Target copy with all the extras on it. And one of the extras happened to be that Marvel Assembling a Universe, which I didn't realize that I had until after we podcasted on it in the middle of last season. So it's stuff like that could be included. I have no idea. I haven't looked into it. I've just heard that Target is the place where you can get the most extras. Maybe not all of them, but the most. So that's probably where I'm going to be going instead of ordering it from Amazon like I normally would. So anyway, we're going to be talking about that and the extras and stuff. So if you have anything to comment on that, go ahead and give us a voicemail or contact us on any of our great contact information. We have the website, legendsofshield.com, that brings you directly to the gunnageek.com website. And our fan page there, don't forget, we have forums on the gunnageek.com website. You can locate them either at the website proper or through your Tapatalk app. We also have a voicemail, 1-844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. We have a Facebook and Twitter, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. both. Lauren runs our Tumblr page at legendsofshield.tumblr.com. Thank you very much for you guys for listening. Thank you for all your great feedback that you've given us, except for Wing. You suck. And thank you very much. You guys got any other things to say?
I don't think so.
I was trying to think of a bad duck pun, but I think the movie made them all already.
I will say, they called it Cro-Magnon Duck. I felt like that was a missed opportunity. It should have been Duck Magnon or Cro-Mallard.
Ooh.
Way better. Way better.
See, like I said, it needed more duck puns. That was the problem with the movie.
All right. And until next week, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Bye-bye for now. See you next week.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.